Hello, football fans. This is the CBFA Podcast with your regular Scholdeis Park field announcers, Grant Pollock and Cole Fortner. I'm James Parks. Let's get to it. All right. Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast.
Good evening. There's Cole's back.
Cole's back. And Grant's back. Grant's front okay. is back.
Grant's back, yeah.
All right. And for a little continuity, Daniel Barker Tremblay is also able to join us today. I also sent an invitation to Michael Quaz. I hope he can join us. But
yeah.
If not, that's unfortunate. But we will persevere.
Persevere. We'll do more than persevere. We will exceed expectations. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Hey, Daniel.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for taking my spot this Saturday. I appreciate that.
No worries. Whew. Yeah, it's, I think that's going to be my last commentating thing for the year, I think. Is because I got it next week. I don't know if I got in November. I don't know if I got November dates. Because I think I do. If I do, then correct me if I'm wrong. But
I think you might be taking one of the provincial finals.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then there we go.
Pee-wee week, November 6th, you have a Pee-wee first game.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Then I guess in November, that's when I'll be wrapping things up there. I think on the
20th, there's four games, right? And I only see my name there. So you guys are welcome to pick up one or two.
Oh, sweet. I'll take all
four. I don't know. Talk to Dan.
Hey, I have Priority.
Talk to Dan. I don't need – he's got me down from 12 to 4. Have I got the date right, the 20th? I think it is.
Yeah, okay. So that is the provincial final. And it's one game, and we've got the 12 to 4 slot because there's a lot of pomp and circumstance going into that. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
Medal presentations and whatnot afterwards. And to the action, which I was unfortunately not able to see any. Grant, I guess you were there for the morning games.
Yes, a beautiful Saturday morning it was. Laugh track, please.
It was a little rainy.
It was a nasty day. We've had great weather all week, but I was there for the Div 2 semifinals. Both were shutouts. I'll start with the one game, the Eagles beating the Lions 40-0. Not surprising. The big story in that game is that everybody in the league knows the Eagles went undefeated 8-0, upset in the quarterfinals to the Stampeders a couple of weeks back.
As you predicted, and Grant, I'll put that in.
I did?
Back
I don't remember.
An earlier podcast, you were talking with Dave Hardy and the coaching staff of
yes.
the Stamps. And
well, I didn't know if I predicted it. Dave Hardy kind of did, coach of the Stampeders. Hardy said, okay, they beat us today. That was in the regular season months ago. And he said, we can make some changes. We can beat them. So Dave Hardy actually said that. And he was right. Because talking to the Eagles coach, Tim Henderson, he said they made some surprising changes on us. And it fooled us. And we weren't playing at our best. And it made up the biggest upset of the season, I guess, in the CBFA. So the Eagles, I talked to the coach, Henderson, all week. He says the guys are really upset, really PO'd, but they turned that around during practices prior to last Saturday's game. And they said, our focus is now on a Div 2 city title. And they're like a wounded animal. They came out, they were focused, they were determined, they were disciplined, they're a talented team. They put that all together. They played well. And the Lions did their best. The Cochrane Lions did their best, but just not as skilled or as good as the Eagles. That's no surprise. So it was a one-sided game. However, the Lions did put up a pretty good fight. Things that caught my attention, and then I guess was it later in the day, I think it was, 10 Eagles were named to the CBFA All-Star Bantam team. So that's significant there for that team. But, you know, usually when you talk about the Eagles games, if you guys have seen them, they've got two strong running backs in Borgie and Polzer. Well, on this day against the Lions in the semifinals, they used their third running back a lot, and that was Caden McCullough. He got at least a couple of touchdowns. He was strong. He was the player of the game. He was incredible. So the Eagles go up against the Wildcats because the Wildcats won their Div 2 semifinal 14-0 over the Mavericks. Again, the Mavericks put up a pretty good fight. It was a defensive struggle for most of the game. But the Wildcats, just a little bit more balanced team, even though they're playing with a third-string quarterback. What was his name in there? Gabriel Gilmore had replaced Vincent Playfair, who had replaced Cooper Dickinson, their number one quarterback starting in the season and all of last season. They moved Vincent Playfair back to receiver, his normal position. And Gabriel Gilmore did a pretty good job. And that Charlie Remillard, I don't know if you guys have watched the Wildcats this season, number 17, great running back for the Wildcats. He was sensational in this game. I think he got both touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. So it's the Wildcats versus the Eagles. And I think you got to put your money on the Eagles there. But of course, there was an upset a couple of weeks ago. So you never know. Wildcats going for the 25th anniversary. The one thing I want to mention about the Wildcats, that's what I want to talk about, is Greg Wilson. All of you have been around Bantam football for a long time. Greg Wilson has been a perennial coach in the CBFA. The Wildcats are 25 years. Greg has been with the organization for 19 years. And I think it's 16. Is it 16 years, I think, coaching or 19 years coaching, most of the last few years, of course, with the Bantam Wildcats. He's looking for his fifth city title. And he's a good man. James, you know him very well, I'm sure, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
And he's just one of the stalwarts of Calgary Bantam football, long time with the Wildcats. And so he's got his hands full, though, against Tim Henderson's Eagles from Okotoks. But I look forward to it. I think the Wildcats, I don't think Cooper Dickinson's ready to come back and play a quarterback. I'm not sure about that, but it's Eagles and the Wildcats in the Div 2 city final.
Well, to add on that, I think that's going to be, and I don't want to take any attention away from the Div 1 final, but I think that one's going to be the one to watch. When these two teams last played against each other back in week 3, which is around Labor Day weekend, that was a 50-30 final.
Wow.
For the Eagles.
Wow. Did Cooper Dickinson play in that game, Cole, as far as you can remember?
I don't remember. That one was over on Field 8, so I didn't do that one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because that should
make
be
a big difference. That would make a big difference if he's at quarterback. But that's interesting. You say that's the game to watch and not say the Cowboys and the Stampeders in Div 1. That's a very astute comment.
I'm just looking at it just based off of previously what those two teams have done. And the fact that, I mean, I don't want to take any attention away from the Stampeders and the Cowboys, but really and truly, both of them kind of scraped their way into the Div 1 final. And I don't want to take any attention away from them because they're both great teams because they've managed to make the Div 1 final. But compared to what the Eagles have done this season and what I've seen of the Mavericks or the Wildcats this season, those two teams, in my opinion, were my favorites to go to the Div 1 final.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're far off. I think the Wildcats are in tough against the Eagles. But, again, James, do you have any idea, any word on Cooper Dickinson? I mean, he's arguably the best quarterback in the league. Without him, it takes something away from the Wildcats. If he's in there, then I think Cole is onto something there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any idea whether or not he's going to be able to play.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's got a bad wing, so I don't think so. But, yeah. And that's a 12 o'clock game coming up on Saturday, right, Cole?
Correct. 12
o'clock? Yeah. Well, that'll be fun to watch.
That's our middle feature of the day, and our final feature of the day would be the Div 1 final, which I had the opportunity to pronounce both the semifinal games that led into that one between the Cowboys and Raiders, which was probably, I think, the wettest game of the day, because really opened up for weather-wise. That one was an offensive struggle for the longest period of time. It was opening scoring for a while. There was just a couple of rouges for the Cowboys. And then finally there was a touchdown scored. It was actually a pick six that the Cowboys got. Anthony Hines managed to have the pick six. Raiders were trying to throw the ball occasionally to try to get some offense going, because the run was just getting shut down. And their quarterback, can't remember his name at the top of my head. Conan Bonnet. He was, I think the weather was getting to the throws a bit, because none of the throws weren't nice, tight, crisp spirals. They were kind of what we like to refer as ducks.
So
they weren't going very far, and they were getting picked off. I think the Cowboys ended up with two interceptions, five fumble recoveries, and three rouges. And then the Raiders got a safety and a fumble recovery touchdown with 14 seconds left in the game. So it finished 11-10. And then my weird thought on that one was, right near the end of the game, after they scored the last touchdown, they had the opportunity to go for the onside kick, and they ended up kicking it about 20 yards downfield at least. And they weren't able to recover it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they just, I don't want to say that they did, but it's almost like they just kind of just gave up and passed the game on and lost it on their own accord there. Because I don't want to say anything against anybody, but yeah, it's kind of what it looked like to me anyway.
Because of the field position that they gave up, you mean? Mainly?
Well, no, because they just kicked the ball downfield instead of doing onside and going for...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, essentially getting the onside kick and maybe trying for, you know, one crack at the end zone, maybe trying for a field goal, because they were down by one. They just booted the ball downfield and...
Oh, I see.
Maybe they were looking for a soft spot in the defense.
And yeah, I don't know. It didn't work very well at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was an interesting game. Cowboys, with the 11-10 victory. It was a very, very strong defensive game on both sides of the ball. I think we ended up giving both teams defensive players of the game. No, Raiders running back got it. But yeah, Cowboys, Ryan Hassett, who ended up scoring the three rouges, had a fumble. He was our player of the game for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other game, which was probably the driest game of the day, because it actually did stop raining midway through the second quarter, if I remember correctly. Stampeders, again, the surprise team of the weekend, 17-0 against the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Couple passing touchdown for 50 yards and a 3-yard rushing touchdown. Bulldogs couldn't really amount to moving the ball at all or anything. So it was kind of a slow game for them on that front. And again, it was just a defensive battle on both sides of the ball again. And again, we had Sadell Khan, who we've mentioned before for the Bulldogs previously, picking up player of the game again for them. And then Erie Olerbofin from the Stamps getting their player of the game.
All right.
And actually, that's going to be interesting too, because they played each other in week eight, October 9th, and Cowboys won that one 19-3. So they met recently.
Mm-hmm. So who are you picking then? You said the Wildcats would have a chance, pretty good chance against the Eagles. I'm wondering what you might think, because you've seen the Cowboys. I've seen the Stampeders play. They're a good team. I've not seen the Cowboys. You have.
I don't know. It's again going to depend on the weather and, you know, the Cowboys, or not the Cowboys, the Stampeders, like, do they have that? I think they'll have that edge. They beat the Eagles. They came out, they beat the Bulldogs. They're firing in all cylinders. They've overcome those hurdles. I mean, they just need to do that one more step of beating the one last team that beat them at the end of the regular season. And I think the way they are going right now, I think the Stampeders might take that Div 1 final. Actually, yeah, and I think it's going to be a tight game between the Wildcats and Eagles, but I think Eagles might edge out that one.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the Stampeders gained a lot of momentum when they beat the Eagles a couple of weeks ago in the quarterfinals. And, you know, to shut out the Cowboys, that's a pretty strong effort. So I think they're on to something right now. So upsets are there, but I think the Cowboys will be in tough against the Stampeders. So that's how I look at it, too. No question. The rain had a big impact on all semifinal games. It was, I credit the coaching staffs. I credit the players for what they put forth. It was all try, a lot of fumbles, a lot of, fumbling the snaps. Speaking of snaps, the center for the Eagles, his name is Colton Friesen. What number is he? He's number 75. This guy has not missed one snap all season long. That is incredible in any kind of football, but in Bantam football, he played in every game for the Eagles, long snaps, never screwed up one snap in the pouring rain on Saturday. His first time he ever did it. The kid was devastated, but the team was, you know, congratulating him all week for that endeavor. But I just thought that was a pretty cool stat for that kid, Colton Friesen.
Yeah, that's big in any level.
It is.
Not mess up a snap. Yeah. It's hard to do.
Yeah. I went to the Stampeder game that night, and guess who was selling 50-50 tickets? Colton Friesen. So I had a nice chat with him. He goes, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, on to the game. True athlete. You know,
Cincinnati.
We in the announcers make a big deal of the storyline. Way to go. Yeah, what the heck. We won the game. Pretty cool, I thought.
The other one we don't want to miss out for next weekend is our Div 3 final, the early game between the Hilltoppers and Colts. Those two teams haven't met each other yet.
Oh.
So who knows how that one can play out. I actually don't know. What were their records, James? Do you have that?
Oh, yeah. One sec here.
That's the one tab I don't have up on my computer at the moment.
Colts 1-7.
And the Hilltoppers?
They're 1-7 as well.
I've only seen the Colts play. They don't have a big team, a large team as far as numbers are concerned. Al's done a good job coaching that team. I know he would like to recruit more players for that Colts team. But I've not seen the Hilltoppers. So I guess by the record, I would say, guys, they're evenly matched. Pretty obvious.
Well,
Daniel, have you seen them play? You probably seen the Hilltoppers.
I've seen the Hilltoppers play and the Colts as well. So when it comes to the Hilltoppers, Aaron Oboe is one of the favorites. They like to pass to and run plays with and everything else. And I called him on air as like the human highlight reel, because that kid, when he gets the ball and he has it open in the pocket in the line of scrimmage, he'll go. And he won't stop. I call him the Forrest Gump and the Hilltoppers. If they utilize him properly within the Hilltoppers to where they can throw long-distance passes downfield, or they can throw short dots downfield towards Aaron, if they work on that, that's a weapon of mass destruction right there. As far as the Colts go, the Colts have been putting on one heck of a, you know, games that I've been calling straight down the middle, whether it be at Field 8, Stampeder, or over at Hillard. And for them to be 1-7, you know, they got to take those losses and they got to say, okay, what can we do better next time around? What can we do to, you know, better and elevate ourselves when it comes to the next game? Because as the old saying goes, you learn more from your losses than you do your victories. And so, yeah, I think for sure for between those two teams, and as Cole mentioned earlier, since they've never faced before, that's going to be a good game to call right down the middle. There ain't going to be a blowout. It's going to be seesawing back and forth. Let's hope it's not a 1-0 game.
Yeah,
the first day of the playoffs.
No, I think the weather forecast for this weekend looks pretty good, doesn't it? Compared to a little cool, a little fresh.
You better hope that, because you're promising some fans some nicer weather there.
Oh, I did promise them that. Yeah, I did promise them that.
Yeah, you were promising. I said, hopefully there will be better weather.
Yeah, well, I was applauding the fans for showing up and being enthusiastic, and of course being there. I said next week, yeah, you'll get better. I'll promise you better weather. Of course, I'm not going to be there to take the heat if it's not.
But, no, I'm gonna have the heat of that game, because that was for the Div 2 final.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you'll take the heat for that.
If I may, I'd like to backtrack to last weekend a little bit. Do we have any info on number 34 from the Raiders at all?
I don't have any.
James?
I've got some older sheets here.
Roster. Because, we had about a half-hour injury delay, and I believe it was 34 from the Raiders. Who ended up being taken off in an ambulance. From what I've heard, at least on the initial walkie-talkie call when the ambulance was about to leave, he was hoping for the best precautionary hospital trip, but they said it could possibly be a neck injury. From what I saw in the commentary booth, it was both kids were coming together. It was a linebacker on a short running back. So, you know, linebacker, clean hit right top of the chest. Raiders running back goes down. Yeah, scary play, obviously, because, you know, size difference and stuff. And obviously with the, you know, poor running back not getting up. But I don't know if we have any information at all or anything. Yeah. Hopefully he's okay.
Joshua.
Yeah, I've not heard. That's too bad. And that was with the Airdrie team, the Raiders?
Yeah, those are the Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah, we had about half-hour delay in the fourth quarter, just before the three-minute warning. So that had a half-hour delay starting our second game.
Oh.
Also, something else I'd like to touch on for our final, or Div 3 final. Colts' one win was against the Chiefs, 18-12 in week 2. And Hilltopper's win was the an unfortunate Rebels no-show incident.
Uh-oh.
So Hilltopper's only win was actually in the playoffs.
That was a default game, was it? During the regular season? Okay. All right. It's interesting. I want to give shout-outs for a couple of Lions. Mike Dangerfield, the coach of the Lions from Cochrane. Last year, they decided not to come to Calgary to play because of the COVID and the pandemic, and they had a lot of situations with inside. They decided to stay. They played flag football. He thinks that was a benefit to this team because they're learning skills and things like that. They played flag football all season last year. So he thinks they're a team of the future. You know what? And I have to agree. I want to give a shout out to their quarterback, Caden Barnstable. First year in competitive football, and this guy looks so composed at a quarterback position. He's one of the youngest players on that Cochrane Lions team. If this is his first year, from what I've seen him twice, including the playoff game, I think this guy, Caden Barnstable, could be an excellent quarterback in years 2 and 3 in Bantam football. And they've got a running back who is in a first year too. This kid is in grade 8. He's first year in football. He's a running back. He's a big kid, 6 feet, over 160 pounds, and he has good speed. So I just want to give a shout out to the Lions. They were in tough against the Eagles, but I think they're going to be a team to watch next year because of those first year players and what they did last year during the pandemic, working on skills and playing flag football. I think when they get more experience, which they got this year. So, good job by Dangerfield, Coach Dangerfield, and the Lions out there.
That should be an interesting couple of weeks now. We're heading into playoffs for Pee Wee Bantam. High school football is also heading into playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
how are the Lancers doing?
We're in our survival season, so I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay.
the year off last year for high school football has made things interesting. However, we do have an interesting game plan, though. We are looking at doing the aerial blitz and try to bring in some joy, because myself especially like the air game a lot better than the running game.
You do?
Yeah. Passing game is much nicer to watch than,
well,
our unfortunate yes. issue last week in the weather where it was just run.
Yeah. Interesting you say that, because well, who doesn't like a nice pass and a great reception, a good run? That's great. But I like old fashioned football. The great running backs when the guards or the tack or the guards pull out and you've got like an end sweep and they're just, you know, the Joffrey Reynolds, the John Cornish for the Stampeder days. I could go to a lot of running backs. I just love seeing good and running backs, you know, not just running fast, but looking for the lanes to run into the block. And so shout out to the running game too. Passing game is really good, but I like a good running game too.
I'm a receiver and a receiver coach. Like I have to love the passing game.
There's nothing wrong with the passing game, but I just think I wish we had more runs in football, in all facets of football. Danielle, what do you think? You throw your two cents in there.
Honestly, like it's like looking at a chip aisle. You just got to decide which flavor you want to take home at the end of the day. Either be ketchup or it could be salt and vinegar, right? So at the end of the day, for me personally as a fan, the greatest thing is that moment in time where you see a long pass go, like it's like a Tom Brady throw, right? Not a big Tom Brady fan, but that's another story for another day. But when you see a long pass that's successfully completed and then a touchdown follows after, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
That big, like, and you're watching it go and trance through the air. Like, I've seen a couple of those, especially at Hellard, because you're so high up and you can see all the action. But if it's at Stampeder, you got to, like, literally look. Or if it's at Field 8, you got to stick your head out the window. So at the end of the day, for me, when it comes to run plays, though, the good thing about that is like you had said, touched with what you said there, Grant, is that it's nothing's more better than when somebody can get through the line of traffic. Yeah. And when they can get through it successfully, especially when there's two or three defenders that are saying, you ain't getting past us. And then next thing you know, they get past them. Yeah. And then they clear right downfield and they're doing the whole little, like, you know, little dance as they run, and then they score a touchdown.
And that's where the good offensive linemen, even like in Bantam football, they're opening up holes for the Seth Polzers and the Borgies and all these kind of guys, Charlie Remillard. They're opening up those holes, and Remillard and those guys, they're like, they're picking their spots. I think that's fun to watch. So I don't know how I got onto this running game. I'm not a master running game, but it gets kind of shoved to the back sometimes, or the passing game can be fun to watch. There's no question about it, but a good running game is to me, the essence of good football.
I mean, nothing's better than when you see a good run play successfully. If they're down like 15 to go and it's the third down and they get a fresh set of downs.
Juke and jive. Right? Yeah.
I mean, I like it when it's, I will say, I like the pass game, but it's nice when there's a balance. But part of the issue that we've noticed over the last couple of years and stuff is that's part of the reason why the game is dying in our part of the reason, not the full reason. But you have a lot of kids that grow up and, you know, they're playing in Bantam and it's a lot of run game. They're playing in midget. It's a lot of run game. They go to high school, junior ball. It's, you know, give the ball to your quickest kid. He runs around the outside up the field for 70 yards type thing, game after game. So those kids that like the aerial game, they're losing the interest in the sport because they're now losing that passing the ball and catching the ball field because they're now just having to block the entire time. And that's unfortunately, a lot of what football has become over the last few years is just, you know, who's our fastest kid? Give them the ball, you know, let them loose type thing.
And maybe that's why, Cole, I don't know this for a fact, where Mike Dangerfield, coach of the Lions, said last year playing flag football instead of tackle for the guys because of the pandemic, they didn't come to Calgary. These guys worked on skills and had fun. Maybe the passing game in flag football, of course, right? So maybe you're right. Maybe that allows them sometimes to work on skills that they can't do because it doesn't bring about success, perhaps in Bantam football where coaches want to win. And they play to their strengths.
Well, that's why one of the reasons why I love watching the Mavericks so much is because, you know, their coaching staff, and with Cooper Dickinson in the backfield, hopefully he's back for next week, they're throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see, especially at a younger age.
Mm-hmm. The Wildcats.
Yes, Wildcats.
Yeah.
Keep saying Mavericks.
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely right. There's a skill pass here. Emerson Leipert, quarterback for the Eagles, he can pass the ball too. They've got two strong, three good running backs, but they can pass the ball too. So that's quite a good discussion. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, you led me the segue there. So, I mean,
that's right. Oh, it's good. That's good. Yep. That makes this thing kind of fun. Get off on a little tangent sometimes.
Awesome.
And what about you, James? What do you prefer, run plays or pass plays?
Well, for me, I was always a lineman, so I started off on the defensive side of the ball, but got quickly moved to center when our center went down with an injury. So, I always appreciated the run plays, being able to create those holes for the running back to get through. And it was always an exhilarating feeling to be able to, you know, move a defensive lineman to a spot against his will, and get your running back, you know, into the secondary. That was always the best part. That and having to do the jog down the field afterwards to catch up to him. That was always fun.
Yeah. But
breaking the coach's
bottom line
practice,
here,
but that's another story.
And as Cole said, the bottom line here about the balance game is the best. Good runs, set up good passing. So that's football.
Well, it makes the defense think too, right? If you're not just doing run, or pass, like if you're mixing up a fair amount, then the defense has to be on their toes.
Yeah.
You
know, after that rainy, soggy Saturday at Shouldice, where these kids are just playing in pouring rain and fans. I was watching the NFL game last night in San Fran, pouring rain. The stands are almost empty in the midfield areas. So I said, yes, it's not just Bantam football taking all that rain. You pros in the NFL take it too. So I guess tonight it could happen again in Seattle.
I mean, we lucked out with the Stamps game. And, well, not score-wise, but weather-wise.
Yeah, I went to that game too. Yeah, you were there as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Bo Levi Mitchell's best game.
No, however, he is now the all-time pass.
Yeah. Pass
completion leader, yeah.
Pass completions, he surpassed Henry Burris.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure that is a big feat, but he lost the game. He didn't play very well. That, to me, is what should bother him more than that. But
Max, okay. The more important thing, big shout-out to the offensive line in Bantam football. Big shout-out to the parents for showing up. Hopefully, Joshua Venezuela is okay from that injury last week. Hopefully, it's something serious. And we have finals on Saturday.
Yes, we do. It's showtime. It's the big dance. Oh,
yes. I wish I could be there, but I can't be there. You guys, You guys can fill me in next week. I'll just sit back and listen to you guys talk.
I mean, you get the big provincial final, so.
Yes. Yes. You guys are welcome to come and help.
We'll FaceTime Grant and we'll put him to the microphone and then call from the phone.
I don't know how well that would sound.
Okay.
All right.
I'm talked out.
Thanks, guys. It's been great having y'all on here, and look forward to City Finals coming up this Saturday. We'll see you at Shouldice Park. Thanks for listening.